got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're tuned in to the Gangsta Chronicles with James McDonald, Reggie Wright Jr., and Alex Alonzo on the Digital Soapbox Network.
I have a material witness on an aggravated battery with a handgun, and they believe this might be in retaliation to her testimony.
Welcome to another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles. My name is Alex Alonso. You may be aware of my platform, streetgangs.com, a.k.a. Street TV, where I interview gang members, rappers, hip-hop artists, authors, entertainers, and other influencers. And I'm here, I'm usually here with my two co-hosts, but I'm only here with who today?
Reggie Wright.
Reggie Wright, because James McDonald is still in Australia living it up.
Living it up.
Living it up. So, but don't worry, we got a guest in the house. But before we talk to our guests, I want to make sure and remind everyone that if you're listening to the Gangsta Chronicles on iTunes, please leave us a rating and a review so that we can continue bringing you this amazing content. You could rate us from 1 to 5, 5 stars meaning you really love the show. And if you leave us a review, go ahead and throw in some ideas, topic show ideas that you want us to talk about on future episodes. And don't fret if you don't have iTunes, we're also available on Google Play for you Samsung and Android users. We're also available on Spotify and, of course, on radio.com. All right, Reggie, I'm going to let you introduce who we got in the house today because this is a legendary rapper that goes back to the 90s. He actually goes back to my college days.
Yes.
I remember where I was when one of his hits came out. It was the spring of 95, I believe, when one of his songs came out.
But you had Five on it?
Yeah, there you go. And we were playing that song. Now everybody knows who we got in the house.
Yeah.
We got Yuck Mouth in the house.
But he had a partner. You know,
what it do? East Oakland is in the house.
Thank you.
East 14th Street. How close did you live to East 14th?
On East 14th.
You live on East 14th.
The Ville is on East 14th. Yeah, the Ville.
That's also a ghost town?
No,
they call
that? That's 65th.
Okay, that's 65th.
69th is where Felix Mitchell was from, Lil D. Little partner, so I'm from that same neighborhood.
Okay.
And our shit is basically like from East 14th to down near San Leandro Boulevard by the Coliseum.
And that's one of the roughest places in Oakland to go to. Now, I'm sure gentrification creeped up on the East Oakland part?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. It ain't the same, but nah, still the village is still the village, you know what I mean? Like, we've been having Vietnamese, Mexican, Cambodians and shit. Now you see a little sprinkle of white people up in there. But they changed the shit. Like, it looked like luxury townhouses and shit. It don't look like the projects used to look when I used to live there. So they definitely switched it up for gentrification, you know?
Now, before we get into our show with Yuck Mouth, I want to remind everybody he has a podcast as well on the same network as us called Smoke A Lot Radio.
Yes.
And what day does your show come out?
Thursday nights, man. Every Thursday night at midnight, fucking 1 o'clock at night. 1 in the morning.
You mean 1 a.m.?
1 a.m.
Thursday or Wednesday?
You mean
Thursday.
Early Thursday? Okay, yeah. same time ours comes out.
We come out Wednesday.
No,
night.
We come out Thursday morning. 1 a.m. is Thursday morning.
Yeah, we come out Thursday morning.
Okay. I thought you said Thursday night.
That's shit, damn near. Same shit.
All right, so Smoke a Lot Radio premieres their Thursday episodes morning. On the same day as the Gangsta Chronicles, right. So you can get a twofer right there.
Yes,
we're on the same network, the Soapbox Network.
Digital Soapbox.
And just
My
make
boy
sure.
Norman
Digital
Steel.
Soapbox. And just make sure you go there and also listen to. Smoke a Lot Radio co-host is Kato from LA.
Yes, sir.
And Simone Taylor.
Yes, Triple X.
Triple X. Wow, you got a porn star co-host.
Sexiness.
I gotta ask you about that. What's that like having a porn star co-host? Is it kind of freaky?
And
we can't
forget our boy Gonzo.
Oh, yeah.
Gonzo show. Yeah.
Well, Gonzo's not here.
I know, but we.
Gonzo's not here.
Gonzo will get mad at me. He'd be hit me up on Instagram.
Why didn't we mention Gonzo? Okay. Well, Gonzo got another podcast. He's got a podcast called The Gonzo Show.
Yes, sir.
And that's also on the Digital Soapbox Network.
Yes.
So go ahead and listen to that one, too. But we got Yuck Mouth here, so we're here to talk about Yuck.
But that
nobody
porn star,
else.
Man, I've been knowing her for a long time. She used to actually rap with us and be in a regime.
Okay.
Her name was Lady Ice before she started doing porn.
Pre-porn,
I mean?
She was a rapper.
Pre-porn, she was a fucking
so
rapper.
So you guys were shocked and surprised when she
Hell
went that route?
Yeah, we were shocked. Because, porn stars, no disrespect, but most of them do that shit when they broke down and out, you know what I mean, on somebody pimping the shit out of them. Simone comes from a
Is she from Oakland?
No, she's from out here, but she comes from a very, not wealthy, but her family is set. She don't got to do the shit.
Okay.
Since I met her, and she's been in college driving Audis and shit, all the latest cars, because her parents keep her right. So she ain't got to do that shit. She was just somebody who wanted to do it.
Yeah.
You know
Did
what I mean?
Did she have that Jada Pickett disease?
I don't know what the Somebody just wanted to do it, man, and experienced it. But then she still went to college, got all the degrees and shit. Still in college getting another degree, so she's very intelligent.
Okay.
So she bring that intelligent, sexy to the table, you know what I mean? So
she had like a short career in porn then?
Yeah, short. Short-lived.
Okay,
she took a taste of it, and do you know why she decided to stop?
Because, shit. It's not lucrative like that. That shit dried out.
Especially with the internet. The internet pretty much changed the game.
With African-American women. Yeah, that shit dry out quick. Your shit is like a good 2 years, and then they on to the next, you know?
Yeah.
It don't last like the Hispanics, you know what I mean? The Cuban or the, white porn artists, you know what I mean? They last to they old women. You can still see them in porn. Yeah. MILF getting, you know what I mean? Old-ass Jenna Davis, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Old one. So black people don't have that long of a career in porn.
That's interesting. That's a great little cast you got there, because I know Kato. I actually just interviewed Kato for Street TV.
I seen it.
And he's got an incredible story, especially this dude has been shot 3 different times.
Whoa, okay.
I ain't know 3 different times.
3 different times.
God damn.
And
Kato.
One time, the second time he got shot in the thigh, and he almost died from a thigh gun wound.
Oh, because of bleeding?
Because he almost bled out.
Yeah. And
he actually went into
lungs.
A coma from getting shot in the thigh.
Yeah.
Then the third time he got shot, it's just surprising that he survived it, all through the lungs, all through the chest.
Oh, God,
you know.
It's good, man.
So, I mean, I've known Kato for, over a decade, and it's a blessing that he's alive to survive those shootings, and you got him as a co-host. And he actually told me that you looked out for him more than any of his L.A. connections. A brother from the Bay Area,
hey,
a brother from
on,
East
man.
Oakland, is looking out for
Shout
me
out
more
Kato.
Than anybody else. Just talk a little bit about your relationship with Kato. Oh, my
basically,
mama!
Basically, shout out.
That's his little that's his catchphrase.
Shout out my homie. My homie Michelob Loeb, he from out here, man. He used to hang with Spice One. So I was trying to do a podcast out here, in L.A., because I had already had Smoke a Lot Radio on Blog Talk Radio, but it was just over the phone. I wanted to do a film podcast, so I'm like, Michelob, why don't you be my co-host? Because he cool, he snappy at it, he got a cool sense of humor. He like, nah, nigga, you need my nigga Kato, man, this comedian nigga from L.A., he the craziest motherfucker, baby. So he brought him to one of my shows, man. I met him backstage, man. Instantly, we clicked, man. That nigga had me dying.
Oh, that's a blessing.
You know what I mean? Period. So since then, I think that was like damn near 2010, 2011, something like that. We've been rocking ever since. Yeah, I mean, then we did end up doing Smoke a Lot Radio on Be Real TV. We was there from 2014 to 2016. So we already had our little formula going before we even came over here. You know what I mean? It's like the relaunch.
Okay.
But we already have it going at Be Real TV. You know what I mean? So we've been working this shit many moons, man. I admire his dedication, his loyalness. you know what I mean, his work ethic, you know what I mean, and the game, you know what I mean, and the sense of humor that he brings to the table when we all together, you know.
Now, what is Be Real TV connected to Be Real from Cypress Hill?
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Okay,
that's
and I've heard
shit.
You speak on it not working out over there. Can mm-hmm. you tell us a little bit about how you got the podcast going from with Be Real TV and what was the falling out over?
It was basically I got us fired. I ain't gonna even lie. I got us fired. Loud mouth.
But Be Real don't care. Be Real don't care about you smoking. I'm sure.
Hell no.
Nah,
but B.N. gave me an opportunity, you know what I mean? We had did a smoke box. He liked my personality, to, you know what I mean? My,
Let me interrupt you there. That's one thing I like. I watch a lot of people on the, you know, been having a lot of time on my hands lately since I got my ass in trouble. But I love your energy, man.
Thank you.
You know,
bro.
I watch Gonzo on them, and I watch my boy Bosco mm-hmm. and everybody. But, man, one thing come across you, the energy that you project out there, it's just like a positive thing, and,
thank you,
and a
bro.
Lot of black men don't put it out there. We all try to be so tough, and,
right?
And but you just put it out there with a nice energy, man.
Yeah, I have fun with it. Makes it
and,
smile.
It make me watch exactly.
You know what I mean?
Even
definitely.
My boy Spider Look. Everybody come off professional,
right.
And you just come off with that high energy, and you know if you're clowning or whatever you something
whatever.
You're talking about. It's high energy.
Thank you,
and, man.
Bro.
Keep that up, bro.
Thank
I
you,
really
my G.
That.
I respect you because you. Yo, big mouth from your yo ass. You get that motherfucker. There's no
man.
Coles bar with you, bro. Period. You are not playing with these
motherfuckers. I better slow my ass down.
You keep your foot on they motherfucking neck, man. I'll be on your shit bomb first. I'm subscribed. You and your boy be going in. I seen y'all go in on, oh boy, I ain't going to even go in. Y'all probably already touched that. I ain't going to say no names, but hey, man.
Billy Boy.
Hey, had to go down,
oh,
man.
Billy Boy.
So, yeah, man.
Billy Boy's been quiet lately.
Billy
huh?
Boy.
Basically,
to
be
man, that ain't, the first, that ain't the first person that we ran off the internet, though.
No, you did a hell of a job with J-O-Max. Billy Boy. But yeah,
people,
yeah, get back to this Be Real TV
yeah, I
situation.
I flashed on TV. It was like a gang of stuff that was happening behind the scenes, you know what I mean, that I thought was going on purposely, you know what I mean, like sabotage, you know, because once you start getting into the analytics of things and when shows are rated and your show is like up there with the top shows or probably the top show, you know what I mean? And you're getting offers, but you want this other show to be on top of it so the offer will be
yeah.
right and that show will get all the praise. They'll sabotage it. Like, we went through a season where the whole shit was set down for a month. Now, you shut your shit down for a month, your audience is gone.
Yeah, you
but
lose.
They kept that channel going that they wanted to get to the top. That one channel could film every week or all through the week,
yeah.
but nobody else. And then when we came back, that one channel was number one. You know what I mean? So it was just like all types of shit. We having top people, top NFL, like big motherfuckers, man. Like we had the Westbrooks come through. No, we had the Wu-Tang come through. The day I went crazy, it was fucking Ghostface Killah coming okay. through and Killer Priest. They had some shit called the Wu Glue. So they promoting their little marijuana venture thing. Okay. Now, we're a marijuana show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We,
yeah.
we smoke weed all day on
all
the shit.
Yeah.
So they want to promote their shit. So they had the products on the table or whatnot. I'm getting phone calls like they can't promote their shit. That's a sponsorship. Now, if we mentioned them, okay, that's a sponsorship. But they said, well, you got to take that shit off the table and you can't do that. It's a sponsor.
This hating.
This is the Wu-Tang. Ghostface said, I ain't
yeah.
coming. He got the call from Killer Priest. Like, I ain't even coming to that motherfucker.
Yeah,
fuck that
because
shit.
Because they wouldn't allow the guests
to promote
something.
To be who they are.
Yeah.
They're there
yeah.
to promote their
yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how you get guests. Let them promote what they want.
I was getting phone calls like, no, they can't promote it. And then, like, they can't sit in this chair. This is Be Real's chair. And that you guys got to get up and stand. Like, whoa, this we live. We filming. And they telling me all this shit. You know, I flashed on air. Period. I flashed and shit, we couldn't continue after that, period. But they was doing a lot of sucker shit. I'm talking about the production people that was there. Now, Be Real. This shit going down. Be Real probably overseas somewhere doing this thing. He's never there. So this is the people that's there running the cameras and shit, running the microphones. Them shits ain't working. The camera ain't working. But
DTM
all day.
Doing too much.
All day it's been working
doing
perfectly. But
did you
when
ever,
we get there, the shit don't work.
Yeah.
So it's just like a lot of shit piled up and I got sick and flat.
But you could have got B-Real on the phone if you really wanted to say, hey, what's going on over here?
Nah, it was too much because I already did that.
Yeah.
I did that 1,000 times. I said, man, what's going on? 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 We'll check on it. We'll check on it. We'll check on it, man. Why this person doing this? Why this person doing that?
Yeah.
If I got a sponsorship and it's paying for you, I mean, it's giving you your half of the sponsorship or your part, that should pay for the cameras and shit. I start getting this like, oh, well, you got to pay the camera crew to work. Like, no, ain't don't I pay for the services? with my sponsorships, this ain't what the sponsorship going towards.
Yeah. I got you.
So have you had been able to talk to B-Real after everything? No, after everything was over.
Yeah, I was just up there, you know, I'd be in the smoke box, all that shit. Okay. Interviews, yeah, we still fuck with each other. You know that it was his staff that was fucking with me heavy. And half them motherfuckers don't even work there no more. So he got it. He seen what I was seeing, you know?
Okay, well, other than always seeing he see you here every week, in 2017 you was at the premiere for Who Killed Tupac, which was the six episode.
You was at the
red carpet premiere for Who Killed Tupac, which was a 6-episode show on A&E. I'm sure you already watched it.
I think I played in that, didn't I?
No, you weren't in that one.
Okay.
So I wanted to ask you, did you know Tupac and you have a relationship with him? Because obviously you were there because of some connection to Pac.
Nah, affiliation.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Association, but not the homeboy. He was an older nigga. He was like with my cousin, the Guff, you know what I mean? And his homie, Richie Rich, you know what I mean? So they was...
Because he spent time in the Bay Area, so I thought maybe you guys crossed paths.
He was under my cousin, you know what I mean? If he wasn't with Digital Underground and Ray Love and them out in Marin, when he came to Oakland, he was fucking with my cousin, the Guff. Niggas in seminary, you know what I mean? So that's how I know about him, from my cousin and them, period. They was older. But far as working with him, Numb and Drew Down got to work with him. You know what I mean? I was locked up in the Twin Towers
and
shit.
I think Drew Down bumped into him at the mall.
No, Drew Down bumped into him at the hotel when Faith was there. Drew was there when Faith came to the room.
I remember him telling him, and he sent him up, gave him a town car, and he went up there. And I remember him sitting up there at the lobby at Canyon waiting for him, and he came in and laid it down.
That's the next day after. But he was there when Faith came to the room.
Got you.
Because it was Big Psych had seen Drew Down in the lobby.
Okay. I knew they had bumped into him
and
somewhere.
And said, Pac upstairs, and then took Drew Down up there. So, but Drew was a witness to Faith coming to the room that night. You know what I mean? So that's why he was on the song. That's why he called me on the intro. Numb got on One Nation. You know, he was doing the One Nation with everybody and shit. So Numb got on One Nation.
Yeah,
I was locked up to make that session.
Eric B gonna be doing an interview
about the One Nation. Coming out?
That we're gonna be doing it probably tomorrow. Hopefully tomorrow night.
But when is the One Nation album coming
out?
That's
the E1 thing. I think
You work E1. There. You know the real.
E1 keep me. They just give me a check to stay away from them.
Okay.
Hey, like, just leave us alone.
Now, I know you've been asked this question 1,000 times, but the I Got Five on It song. Take me through that.
He just made some more money off of that. I just saw that on the movie.
Take me through the creation of that monster hit, man, because I was at USC.
Yeah, that was a song.
I was a senior, and you had every college kid in my circle bumping that here in L.A.
It was a combination of everybody, man. Everybody played their position, man. Numb came up with the idea. That's my rap partner in the Loonies. He came up with the idea to make a song about what it takes to buy the weed instead of, you know, everybody had songs about getting high.
Mm-hmm.
But we in the era where now motherfuckers buy pounds and shit, all that shit, ounces and shit. Niggas weren't buying ounces. Niggas was buying 5 sacks, 10 sacks. 20 sack, you was the man. If you was buying a 20 sack, you was the nigga. That's why it's dude. Like, I got 5 on the 20 sack.
Yeah.
Like, you was the nigga. That was like buying an ounce back then, as far as a little nigga. So it took, like, you know, everybody to pitch in 5, whether it was a 10 sack or a dub sack, 4 people put in 5. So Numb came up with the concept. I came up with the idea to use a Club Nouveau song, Why You Treat Me So Bad. CNH, our executive producer, came with the idea to use Tone Capone, the producer, to remake it. And when I said I made the hook, it didn't sound right. I mean, it sounded cool, but just rapping, it was like, Tone Capone knew Mike Marshall from the Timex Social Club that actually was part of Club Nouveau.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The actual originators, you know what I mean? So he got him to sing the hook. And shit, the rest is history, bro.
Do you ever get tired of hearing people say that? I got 5 on it. I mean, I guess you want to slap somebody sometimes.
No, never.
Hell no.
It's become like part of our culture now.
Right.
People say that. Hey, I'm about to go to the store. What you got on it? I got five on it.
Right.
You know, it's it's probably said every day, dozens of times, hundreds of times in this country.
Right.
So how'd that publishing deal work out for you?
Nice.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Nice.
That's what people don't know. That's where he's making his money from.
Yeah.
From that publishing deal.
Nah, we recouped that already. Big John know what's up. We been recouped that.
Yeah.
But it put us in position. We got a lot of fucking money, man.
Did y'all win any awards from that, from Mascot?
We actually got a Grammy nominated, not from 5 on it, but from working with Quincy Jones for getting on his back on the block two, I think.
Well, I guess 500 was too ghetto for him.
Nah,
like the Grammys, I'm talking about back then.
Hell no, no Grammys, none of that shit. Yeah, none of that, man.
Soul Train either?
No Soul Train, none of that shit, man. We got nominated for the Source Awards. We was there with Suge and them tore shit up that year.
In New York?
Yeah, okay, we was there. That's the year we nominated. It was us, it was the Loonies, Outkast, Mobb Deep, and who else?
I want to say.
Nah, it was Groups.
It was Groups. Dog Pound there.
And Dog Pound. And Outkast ended up winning. Remember, they was mad at Outkast, like, boo!
So Atlanta.
I was there. That was when we got nominated.
Now, when you came out with that album, 95, the internet was just starting. The internet was brand new. Did you guys ever, think about the internet back then in 95, or that wasn't even a thought in y'all minds?
Nobody knew about downloads.
That's why Dre suing and about to get all this shit back now. Nobody knew about downloads.
It wasn't even talking about it.
It wasn't even in the contracts.
That's why motherfuckers could do all these little side, little digital deals because
in 95.
2000. Yeah. They just started mentioning them contracts in about 2099, 2000.
That's crazy because I was at school in 95 on computers.
Okay.
And I'm on the internet
Nobody
every day. I'm typing up loonies on the computer in 95, 96.
Wow.
Because we're at school. I would tell people, hey, go to the internet. What's the internet?
Man, you remember it. You know?
YouTube didn't come out to what, like,
YouTube came out in 2005. There was no YouTube in 95.
Well, we had MySpace.
We had Google. Always had Google search.
No, Google wasn't even out in 95. It was Yahoo. Yahoo existed, and there were some other databases that are no longer around.
Some type of mail.
But they were still suing motherfuckers for downloading. But you gotta think.
Yeah, retroactive.
You gotta think, my G, that's the pager days. We got our motherfucking pager. That's the burnout. Like, you had to be a boss to have a motherfucking mobile phone, bro. Yeah. And that's when motherfuckers had the codes. Yeah. They could switch the codes and shit. Only the D-Boy, the Kingpins had that, my nigga. We working
phones.
On pages.
Yeah.
Colorful see-through pages at that. So, we didn't have no motherfucking
deal. Youngsters don't even know about phone booths.
Phone booths, like a motherfucker, man.
I don't know when the last time I saw a phone booth.
Like, y'all spoil. Y'all motherfuckers spoil. Y'all had to hit no phone booth and keep extra change in your pocket. What the fuck,
bro? Or call home and hang up.
Call you back home, man. I had a dope feeling like, bro, meet me at the phone booth. Yeah. Like, that used to be the meetup spot. You sell your work.
Yeah.
You feel
me? All right, so...
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout. And woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to get into a couple topics now. I wanted to, this Keefe D interview is like going viral over the internet. All, what, 75 parts of
it's
it,
gonna
right?
It's going to be 26.
I think we had 22.
It's going to be 26.
Which is one of my issues I had
with
Vlad.
How long was that goddamn interview?
26 parts.
2.5 hours.
He said it went two and a half?
2.5 hours. But he said Keefe D stopped him about 10 times. Had to go outside with the guy that actually wrote the book. And say,
you said, oh,
no, yeah. Go re-read. Oh, no.
And so he said, man, it was one of the worst interviews he ever. He said, man, I had to stop that interview and keep he had to go and consult with the writer. And then he'll come back and that's, you know, answer the question and stuff. But it's going to be 26 parts.
It's probably going to be his most viewed video of the year.
Yeah, it's starting to get there. It started off slow.
Yeah.
James and Trey D was kicking his butt.
Yeah.
Right.
And then,
right.
Yeah, but now he's starting to get the view.
And I'm sure you checked out a couple of parts, Yuck.
Yeah, I checked out a couple, man.
I mean, this dude was once a guy that was revered and respected in the streets, but I don't know how people are feeling about him nowadays.
I think, like, personally, me, just coming from the streets, Vlad ask them tricky questions, them tricky street questions, you know what I mean, that it's on you to answer that shit or avoid it, you know what I mean? Yeah. So even with me, like, he asked me some tricky shit, and I had to go back about one of my street stories, and I had to come back to the neighborhood and answer about that, you know what I mean? Because street tales is supposed to stay in your neighborhood, your street, your whoever know that, your close home. That shit ain't supposed to be broadcast on no interviews or on the internet, no shit like that, because what happened in the past, all that shit could be reignited. People, old feelings could become new feelings again because the nigga talking about old shit that people done got past, you know what I mean? So that's the same thing I feel about the Keefe D thing. Like, you know what I mean? You wrote your book, bruh. You know what I mean? Just tell people go get the book, man.
Yeah,
you
he could have.
And he tried. And he tried to do that. But let me, and Vlad wouldn't let him get away with that. But my question to you would be, me, you, and Alex right now do something and we start facing 25 to life. Somebody's dead. That's all. James.
Right.
He gonna get mad. I used to see him. But James dead. And for us to get out of this 25 to life, and we exposed something that everybody kind of knew that went down about James. And to get us to save our butts who's still alive and facing 25 to life. Is that snitching?
Hell yeah. Because at the end of the day, if it didn't help James, you know what
James
I mean?
James dead.
He's dead. No longer with us. He's dead.
Yeah.
I say, and you guys are locked up.
Us three.
We locked up.
Or facing it.
Or facing it.
Facing.
And you say something, man, you say something that'll get us clear.
Get us clear.
But you snitching on him.
But I'm telling on the dead man.
My nigga, man.
I mean, if
it got a man, that's tricky. That's tricky. That's real tricky. That's hella tricky, bro. And I don't never want to be
the position
in
keep
no
you
situation
in.
Situation
that's
like
the
that.
That's the position keep you in.
I can't even. Yeah, that's it. That's exactly.
Now
that's exactly
it
what
gets
it
a little tough because now you, it's
that's
the
tough.
Two people that he's saving is Orlando's mother and uncle.
Wow.
They got a problem with it though.
Wow.
They, I'm gonna be honest, they got a problem with. She had a stroke when she found out what he did.
Her brother did to her son.
She had a stroke from it.
Yeah.
But his argument or his defense was, hey, we were done. I had to save us. They were about to take all our shit that we worked for. We did all, they were taking all our property. They were threatening to lock us all three away for 25 to life.
Now, do you believe the mom would have went to prison as well? Or you think Keith was putting some extras on it?
Man, they were dealing with PCP. Okay. They know that PCP drug. They treat every black man drug a lot worse. Crack cocaine and PCP is life.
When meth, yeah, because those are black men. Yeah, give you drug rehab. Hey, rehab them up.
Yeah,
black guy get caught with that shit. Good luck.
But I want your opinion on that. Well, you kind of said, Alex.
I mean, it's kind of dry snitching.
Yeah,
definitely dry snitching at the end of the day, man. Because not only is this your nephew, I mean, it's you too, my nigga. Like, operate zip
your
mouth. Yeah,
so you're saving yourself.
Yeah, operate zip your mouth. Because I don't think murder is no, is it, what you call?
Statute of limitation
on murder?
No.
Because you're the ex-cop. No. You should know.
There's no statute of limitation, but what he did was he told it all in a
he got diplomatic immunity?
No, he don't. That's what everybody thinks. He got immunity.
Not diplomatic.
Number one.
Immunity.
He not, but he don't even have immunity because, number one, it's still a Vegas case. And so
California
is so picking up on
our feds. The feds can't even, because it's a municipal Vegas case.
Yep.
And so technically, they don't have to honor it. The DA in Las Vegas was like, yeah, that's y'all thing. But the thing is, now we can't share this evidence that we have against him to you guys.
Mm.
So this is what happened, but you can't do nothing with it.
You can't do nothing
and
with
so
it.
So that's the... you know,
I mean,
the double-edged sword.
Okay, here's the way I would ask
the
question.
He already made the book.
Yeah, he already did the book.
No, well, the book came after. The book just came.
Yeah, it just came out this year. 2019.
He done talk on two different platforms prior to Death Row Chronicles and Murder Rap.
And he looked better in the previous interviews.
Well, he supposedly have cancer, which he's been claiming to have cancer for a while, but he supposedly have cancer. But this is what Greg Kadings in 2012 came with and hit him with.
Oh, wow.
And,
like I just said,
I don't know.
It'll
be hard to save my. The only problem is saving yourself. I have a problem with, but to save my dad, my brother, my sister, and stuff like that. But the problem will come when you're saving yourself.
Well, here's another way to look at it.
I don't know.
I mean, snitching has been defined in so many different ways, right? It's usually you providing information to law enforcement to arrest, to charge, or to help pursue someone else to save yourself.
Right.
Okay. In this situation, Keefe didn't do any of that.
Right. So that's called dry snitching.
Dry snitching.
They thought he was going to help with getting that $400 million judgment against the city of Los Angeles on the Biggie matter dismissed. But he flipped the script on him. I said, no, I mean, we're not responsible for that one. We're responsible for the one in Vegas.
Yeah.
And then that's when they go, whoa.
Well, then tell us about that one.
Tell us about that.
And he had to.
And he had to lay it out.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, no one gets arrested from Keefe D's confession. No one gets charged. No one goes to prison. So who'd he snitch on? I know you're going to say dry snitching, yuck. But at the end of the day, I think Keefe D played the police and had a strategic plan
to get up out that
to
shit.
To get out of this situation and make sure nobody's gonna go to jail.
No, he told the fucking truth.
Yeah, he told the truth.
Right. He told the truth of what
happened.
But
he knew that if I tell this now, he made sure he had immunity before he told.
He didn't have immunity.
Right. He made sure it was
only thing he got is this Sherm case that we got on you, and this cocaine case that we got on you. We can't. We're not going to try you or take this against use this against you to put you in jail for life for giving us this information. That's the only thing. Right now, today, you get a motherfucker that do a Bill Cosby DA and go run on the platform, I'm going to put KPD in jail for that case. For doing that in Vegas.
Vegas can do that.
But
they can't take the confession he gave to Kadings as evidence.
To Kadings? He done gave confessions to me over the phone. I done played some tape recordings of him.
You going
to
snitch on Keefe D?
They got it. It was right there. It was in his own voice.
Okay.
They got Death Row Chronicles that he done talked on.
Mm-hmm.
And they got Vlad interview.
And the book.
To build a case.
And the book.
But as you could tell, man, at
now,
the end
hear
of the day,
me. I was crazy. I made it up. I was just trying to, that would be his defense if I was his attorney. But
let's be solid, man. Both murders, the Biggie and the Pac, nobody trying to solve them because there's too much corruption in the Biggie one that leads to the Pac shit. So
Reggie would disagree with you on that one.
Well, about what?
Yuck just said there's too much corruption connected to the Biggie homicide that happened in L.A.
There's confusion. I don't believe the police was involved in the Biggie matter. I believe what the evidence and murder route reveal is accurate.
Which it was just one shooter.
I believe that. That's what everybody said. You had never heard them say two people sitting in a car.
Right.
You have never heard that.
And in your mind, the homicide of Biggie is not connected to a conspiracy linked to any law enforcement entities at all.
You know, we always say police officers are good assassins or killers and all of that. You want us to believe that this man used his own personal vehicle to commit a homicide, David Mack. And that's the only reason he linked to it is because he had a black Impala and he took off work
that day. Well, that's not the only theory. The other theory is Amir Muhammad, a.k.a. Harry Billups.
Well, that was his friend of David Mack.
Who was never a police officer,
He wasn't a police officer.
Okay.
But, no. But David Mack was supposed to use his car.
Correct. If you believe the Harry Billups theory.
Yeah.
I don't see it being crazy that you use your own car. Because, like you just said, they're not thinking you're going to use your own car.
So you reverse it?
You reverse it, yeah, shoot. God.
Nobody. Okay, well, why when he robbed the bank, he rented a car?
Why did he walk into a bank knowing there's cameras everywhere?
He had a mask on.
Everyone knew that was David Mack?
No. The only reason they caught him and knew who the hell he was because his woman that was working inside the bank gave him up.
Yeah, the girlfriend that was the bank teller.
She was not the bank teller, she was the manager. She didn't want to order all the money.
Yeah, so you would think to yourself, why would a police officer have a chick that works in the bank, use this chick to help him rob at 700 racks, and not think this chick's going to rat me out when the heat comes.
Because they be talking. When they laying next to you in that bed, they be talking all that gangsta shit.
Hey, baby, now I got this shit.
Do you know what we can do with that money?
Okay,
we
going to do this.
But I'll get you some titties.
Yeah. But how many people?
Overseas. Yeah. They can't find it.
But how many people is
David Mack?
Until you get in that room, you be like.
Interrogation room, niggas cold as shit, nigga. No phone calls.
Man,
are you going to say David Mack wasn't that smart? Because how many interrogations has he done of people knowing once the police start interrogating my girl that works in the bank, well, she's going to spill all the beans.
She sold me.
Because I've made people spill the beans.
Yeah, she sold me. She sold me. We thought. And then I thought, even if she did give me a fuck her, she lying.
She lied.
She lying. Man. I don't know what she talking about. She mad because I dumped her.
Like, at the end of the day, we love females, you know, just like how they have our back, but they going to be the first one to crack my G. Never put them involved with anything criminal.
Yeah, you don't ever bring in.
The first to crack because they got shit to lose.
Especially if she ain't even from the streets.
Kids. Yeah. No, a lot of them be from the streets.
But she wasn't from the streets, I'm saying. Especially if you're not from the streets.
From the streets, they got too much to lose. They're going to fold.
Yeah.
Like old laundry, they're going to fold, man, period.
Yeah.
So David Mack was done for that, thinking, oh, this girl's going to have my back when the police come interrogate me.
Hell yeah.
That's to call it naive.
And I heard that she ordered the money.
She ordered the money.
An amount that they never even ordered.
It was an unusual amount.
Why were you ordering?
That was a red flag.
Yeah, biggest red flag.
And she probably did it before. It's the only thing when you get caught.
No, they said that that amount of money had never been ordered.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's already red.
So she ordered a bunch of money, and then that money disappears.
If she would have stayed strong, it would have been that nigga did. Yeah. She just cracked.
Right.
She,
as expected, though. Yeah. As expected.
Huh?
As expected.
As expected. Not by David Mack, apparently.
No, the other detectives got her to crack. I'm talking about she cracked as expected. She spilled the beans. She ratted everybody
up. I'm sure
there's
some situations where females hadn't cracked. Shit. This one did.
Man, we got the perfect shit going down with Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. Power. You see how many females cracking in that shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Tasha got weak. Tasha got weak. You talking about Angela, too. But Tasha kind of got weak.
Tasha got weak, too.
She was about to leave when that attorney, when she
Come
thought
on.
That attorney was...
Tasha homegirl, they think she about to fall.
Yeah, yeah.
The most gangster woman in that show is the DA.
Yeah.
Angela.
But Angela, yeah.
Ain't she the most gangster?
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to give y'all a spoiler.
No. A spoiler on Power?
I'm going to tell y'all going to hear it here first.
Wait. Are you going to ruin the show for all our listeners?
I don't know. This is Reggie Wright's
man,
opinion.
Man, give that shit to me, man. You know Frank Ocean, man. Let me hear that, man. I'm going to
tell
you.
And this is his Reggie version. I don't know
gonna
that.
Ghost ain't going to die. It's going to be a whole new season.
Well, no. Yeah, because, you know, guess who just got the job? Mary
the
J. Blige.
Oh, yeah, I heard. Yeah, Mary.
Yeah,
she's going to
be.
Yeah,
but this is what's up with that. It was a dream. Y'all watch. Angela didn't get shot by Tommy.
No.
It's a dream. Y'all watch. There's some things that she never told him. Hey, Tommy and Tasha came to the house and was pushing up on me. She didn't say that to him.
Wow.
And that's going to be major if she got shot and by Tommy and all that. It's a dream. Trust me. Y'all remember.
Okay, so you're saying that's your... didn't happen. You're speculating.
I'm speculating. No.
You said spoiler.
I said Reggie opinion.
Yeah, I thought you knew what the hell. Yeah.
But y'all watch. I'm just saying y'all heard it here first. It was a dream.
No, that's a good theory.
It's a dream.
That's a great theory. You might
be y'all go back and watch the ending of the show.
All right, what else we want to say about Keefy D before we move on?
I mean, I think at the end of the day, man, Vlad is good at what he's doing, man. And y'all got to watch, you know what I mean, how y'all give y'all game to that dude when he's, you know, talking about real street shit. We'll end it on
And not just his platform.
You checked him at the end of your interview with him.
Oh, yeah. I told him he's the interrogation room.
Yeah.
Facts. The only one. Then everybody start trying to follow. Hey, nigga, you the police all of a sudden.
Yeah,
like,
he's been checked a couple times since. What year was that interview? 17,
that
right?
Was last year. Yeah.
Oh, 18?
Last year, okay. Yeah.
And
last
a few times I kept telling him, I was like, yo, boy. You keep talking about yo, boy. That was my way of like telling them, you know, you keep hating on Suge. Yeah,
welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, my name's Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. I just had a great conversation with Michael B. Jordan, and you can listen to it right now. Michael is known for his performances in both film and television. His breakout role was in Fruitvale Station, playing Oscar Grant, which earned him widespread praise and numerous award nominations. His portrayal of Killmonger in Marvel's Black Panther, one of my favorites, further solidified his status as one of Hollywood's leading actors, earning him widespread acclaim for his complex and compelling performance. In our conversation, Michael really opens up. You're going to love listening to it, and I can't wait for you to check it out.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. It's always the feeling when you're getting ready to, you know, people give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get. People quit.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Well, you know, anyway. I kind of asked him about, I didn't really appreciate his style. I brought it up. We had Vlad on the show about three episodes ago. So if you
I seen him that day when we was in the parking lot together.
Exactly. So
I just don't like how he interrogate people, man. Like give artists like the platform to promote their shit, man. You don't even mention like what they got going with, None of that. Like, yeah. No shit about the artists they sell, what ventures. Okay, you in the stocks and shit. Ask them what type of, you know, financial investments, how's portfolio.
You try
looking.
To get him into that.
You know what I mean?
He definitely like, Fody knows the stock game.
So much shit about his portfolio on the Breakfast Club. I ain't even know. Like, damn, you part of this, that, and the third. Shares and this, that, and the third. There's other situations you can ask niggas about besides crime.
Yeah.
You feel me? And that's all I'm saying, my G.
A big manager from the Bay, Chaz Hayes. You ever work with Chaz?
That's my guy, man. Man. First guy took me to Mr. Childs, man, in 96.
Beverly Hills, Mr. Childs.
Mr. Childs ever since, man.
Okay. You love Mr. Childs?
I fuck with it, man. I just was there for my
I'll be trying to eat there. I don't know what I can eat there. It's too foo-foo for me. Tell me what, recommend something for me.
Okay, man.
My birthday is Monday.
Okay, so Felipe Child was doing the salt and pepper lobster and salt and pepper shrimp. So that's the fried lobster and the fried shrimp. So go there for that. That's him. Period. Okay. Salt and pepper shrimp and the salt and pepper lobster. You know how they chop the lobster up with the sauce? It ain't that sauce. It's fried. Okay. It's good as fuck. Period. And you can throw your little fried rice, your little sides, or whatever.
I'm still go to the ghetto spot. I like the fucking like crustaceans. Even though, and that's a good. I know their noodles. I know they remodeled it. But that's still ghetto fabulous. You go in there, every black chicken there for birthday.
Happy birthday!
Yeah, that's the birthday spot.
That's just turned into Benihana.
Yeah,
facts. It used to be the spot.
Christy, okay.
Yeah,
so I don't have to try that.
Chaz, Chaz took me there, him and Ant Banks and shit, man. Okay, Chaz used to manage 40 and Too Short.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's my OG, man.
Okay,
You know, man,
I heard when you said Spice One, so I knew you.
Yeah, I'm Uptown official, man. We actually, Drew Down's first album, we recorded in Dangerous Studio. Ant Banks did all the beats, Pimp of the Year, all that shit. So we was all up under one umbrella. At one point in time, and then, you know, the shit just separated. But shout out Too Short, shout out.
Ain't Banks gave me a song. He made Brian Turner so mad on Chronic 2000.
Nah.
And I forget the name. Was it Drinks on Me or something? But he was like, Ant Banks ain't never gave me a song this good to work.
No, Banks ain't no motherfucking joke on the beats, man. Yeah. He ain't no joke. He had Too Short banging. Like, all the shit that he was behind was getting platinum plaques.
Yeah.
Facts. When he was behind that short, him and fucking what's his name? Shody B.
Yeah.
With the motherfucking guitar player, when them two niggas was on it, it was a rap. He had all the hits, man. Chopa Funky, all that shit.
You talk about Too Short, you made me think of my boy L.A. Dre. L.A. Dre, goddamn. All right, go ahead, Alex.
Well, I was going to also ask about the role that Too Short has played in putting Oakland on the map. Like, he's the king of Oakland.
Between him and Hammer. Like, Hammer's the king.
Yeah. Is that right? I put Too Short before Hammer.
Yeah, I mean,
well, different type of raps. But see, Hammer went mainstream, and he...
I'm talking about far as sales, far as, like, impact of who sold the most albums ever in the Bay Area, this Hammer period, because it's hella people that came out the Bay. You can't forget the Singers, the Invogues, the Tonys. There's a lot of people that came out here that sold just as many or more albums than Too Short. So you can't just say he's the top. Now, as far as rap, he's the top because he started the independent shit and everybody followed his blueprint in the Bay Area as far as the independent game. So you could say he's the independent king.
Who? Too Short? Too Short. Over 40?
It won't be no 40 doing no independent
40
shit.
40 came after.
It was for Short.
That's true. 40 That's came a good after point. Short. But I always thought Short had a deal.
Nah, Short was always out the trunk until he got the jive. You know what I mean? My homie, Ted Bohannon, put him out. You know what I mean? The 75 girls on the first albums. You know what I mean? They put Too Short out.
He must have came out in like 87, 88?
Yeah, way back 87, then, 88.
Okay. Out the trunk. I would always give 40 to for out the trunk. Okay.
And then 40 came out the trunk, too.
Yeah, but like the king of that, you know.
When Hammer came out, a lot of us here in L.A., wasn't feeling Hammer.
Right, I see it.
It was a lot of disrespect thrown in his direction.
Right.
But I'm guessing up in Oakland, because he's representing Oakland, people loved him regardless.
How old are you, Alex? I was loving Hammer.
You was loving Hammer?
I guess I was a weirdo or something.
I remember when his album came out, they threw darts at it at Capitol Records.
I'm going to tell you this, my G.
I love
them goddamn big-ass pants he had.
Yeah, that was funny.
Them goddamn, with them crotches. They wearing them right now, ain't they? With the crotch open.
Oh, he done brought them back?
No, the skinny leg niggas done brought them back. All the skinny jean dudes got the big crotch joints going. Them Hammer pants.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Let's do the history now.
Okay.
Yeah, y'all wearing Hammer pants right now with the big crotches. That came from the Hammer pants.
How did you feel about him buying the helicopter for? That's what he always got
for
to
the
be.
Feds. Well, yeah,
well, for
man.
The police.
Damn. I put that in my song, man. City of Dope, man.
Okay.
Yeah, man. We really didn't like it in Oakland because, like, when he did it, it was a big sweep.
Yeah.
That was in 91, and my whole neighborhood got swept, and all our kingpins got swept, and I was there in the projects. It was FBI, ATF, DEA, ambulances. Highway performance, cars out there for high-speed chases, the whole project, they on rules, everything, kicking shit down. Wow, at the same time, 6 a.m., everybody shit getting kicked down. All through East Oakland, West Oakland, all the shit getting hit at one time. And it's right after the helicopters was bought. You know what I mean? So we all felt some type of way out there in Oakland. Yeah. Like, come on, bro. Like, we love you. You know what I mean? But goddamn, helicopters.
One thing I can say about Hammer when he was hanging around us, I never seen Hammer drink. Smoke or curse.
Ham ain't no joke neither. Like these rapper niggas was trying to talk shit, man. He got MC Search, them third base motherfuckers shook when they came out here. You know what I mean? He done allegedly. You know what I mean? Hey, his crew ain't playing. That's all I'm gonna say. I ain't gonna say
he liked to roll deep. That's the one problem I ever have. Hammer believe in Entourage.
Yeah, man.
It must have been real costly too.
Yeah. That's the only problem. That was the only problem
then,
I ever had.
At the end of the day, they say like, oh, Hammer's broke. Man, this man started Google. Yeah. Like he started with top shares in Google. Like he get paid, man. Okay. Like Shaq. And Hammer was one of the first people they got at to be shareholders in Google, man. So he's Gucci, man.
A lot of
everybody
people think,
be looking at shit above the surface oh, his music ain't popping, so he ain't getting a shitload of money. He's Gucci, man.
No, I think it's when people file bankruptcy, they think you're broke.
Right.
I think he might file bankruptcy,
but
I'm not sure.
But, look,
but that don't mean you're broke if you file bankruptcy.
I think it's
Donald Trump filed like three or four bankruptcies in his career.
That's one business. And sometimes you have people suing you. So that's a way to get out of a lawsuit, my G.
Yeah,
so
you
file a Chapter 11 on your LLC or your corporation or whatever just to get out that lawsuit, just to get out them debts,
that's what
taxes, all types
did.
Of shit. You know what I mean? Come with a new LLC, similar, Death Row Forever instead of Death Row Records, but you still using the same shit and you back at it.
And that's what
all these record labels do. When they start owing these artists big money, they switch
that
motherfucker up and file Chapter 11 on your ass. So it's a business strategic move. It don't mean you broke.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, a lot of times it doesn't.
Well, I still think Too Short is
a lot of times, but sometimes you broke.
Yeah.
and Too Short has actually lasted the test of time, too. I mean, he's still relevant right now.
He always retired. He's in retirement. They come out with this is my last album.
Yeah. Hey, Sean ain't playing with motherfuckers, man, period. Or motherfucking E-40. E-40 just dropped
but they
that,
both can do a show.
Make paper.
Man, those... Y'all need to get that show together though, with you guys opening and 40 and who was you just talking about? Too Short.
Yeah.
Oh my, that's a show that you would go to, boy.
Now, when you was running Death Row, you never signed any of these artists from the. How many Bay Area artists did you guys
I had
have?
No Bay Area artists
we had,
Death Row.
You guys. He'll laugh at me.
You
Let
guys
me tell
slept
the story.
On the Bay
no,
Area.
No, we didn't. No, we didn't. Let me tell y'all.
Gosh.
Let me. I'll tell you what
now
artists.
Y'all
I
said. Back.
Who y'all had, bro?
You gonna laugh? This is what happened.
Don't say the realest, man. He's from Dallas.
So I went up to the prison. I was like, man, Daz just did these beats. Because we had went up and shot that only in California. The only in California video, right? And so Daz was doing that. Man, he was playing me these songs because I used to live in the marina and they used to come over my house fucking with me at the Marina City Club every morning. And Daz was coming there playing me this shit. This is Mac Dude. And I was like, Mac. So I go up to the prison and I go, Dad's got about four or five beats already done, songs already done on this dude named Mac. Mac Dre? I go, I think that's his name. I think that's his name. He said, oh, yeah, Reg, get him.
Right.
I go back up there. I got him. It only cost $75,000 and we got the five songs and everything. And so he said, bring the nigga, have him fill out a visiting form. Let me come and meet him. He come walking in the visiting room. It was this nigga Mac Shine. Reggie, that ain't no Mac Dre.
I'm fucking dumb. Interview over on that one. Nigga, what the fuck? God damn.
Mac Shine.
Well, that was the era where everybody up there was Mac something.
Mac, and
y'all got your Macs. Confused.
But you said we signed somebody from the Bay.
Yeah, we signed Mac the hardest motherfucker from the Bay. Tupac, motherfucker. Amaru Shakur.
Well, that's true, because
that's debatable.
The hardest motherfucker.
Do you consider Tupac a New York rapper, a Baltimore rapper, a Bay Area rapper, or an LA rapper?
I consider him an Oakland rapper because he got his game from Oakland. Like when he was in Baltimore,
he was in school.
He was doing his acting shit.
Baltimore, New Yorkers say.
When he got to Marin City, he started rapping with them Digital Underground niggas. And then when he got to Oakland and started fucking with them Richie Riches, the good and real niggas in the streets, cut the motherfucker, because in Oakland, we wear ball heads.
Yeah.
It's called the Louisville. You know what I mean? When pimps and shit was wearing all the perms and shit, real street niggas went with the ball heads, bruh. Niggas wasn't doing no high tops, none of that shit. Real street niggas. Yeah. You know what I mean? Period. So Pac went to Oakland and got the ball head.
Either had a freeze,
ball head. Got the ball head.
Or gold in your mouth.
Man, facts. Oakland. We had ball heads in Oakland and little Caesars and shit, man. We went with the perms and shit. We did have some niggas with perms, but it was pimps that had the perm. A street nigga, hustler nigga had that same shit too. But the real killers and hitters on the block, it was ball head niggas. Okay. So Pac
one thing
got
I always laughed about Oakland
guys,
they always feel like it's like they were in California, but they had a South mentality. Don't y'all? They have gold in their mouth. They got the freezes. I was like, damn, these niggas.
But you don't know, like, I don't know about out here, but a lot of us from California, our family, our roots is from the South.
Correct.
Well, that's
Texas and Louisiana.
Well, my parents came from New Orleans and Louisiana.
Louisiana, New Orleans, all that shit. So, you know, our right roots to the come from down there. Yeah. So,
from the
it's only in us, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's in our blood to act like that. You
but I always laugh about that.
We come from that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We migrated. You forgot. We migrated in the slavery shit. We migrated when that shit was free.
But y'all do it in the 80s and the 90s.
We still doing it. You see the nugget ring? You see this shit? You ain't seen a ring like that.
I ain't seen a nugget. My daddy used to wear
nuggets.
The 80s, right? Yeah, you're right.
See,
he got a nugget on.
He
called those nuggets.
Old school nugget on your ass.
Pac is a Bay Area rapper.
That's the general consensus.
Specific to Oakland.
Because he got gamed up in Oakland. Marin City was treacherous, too, because the jungles ain't no motherfucking joke. The projects he was living in Marin City ain't. So a combination of both of them.
Where was Digital Underground based in?
Digital Underground is like Berkeley, Oakland, a combination of all that shit.
They didn't have like one spot then?
Based in Oakland, though, mainly. You know what I mean? But it was a combination of Marin, Berkeley.
Where's Shock G from?
Oakland.
Okay.
Yeah, he's from Oakland.
He's in Florida now, I think.
I think from Oakland.
Well, they put him on in that 1991 album. I think that was it. 90? Yeah. They gave him one line, and it was the hardest line of the song.
Yeah.
When Pac.
I'm going to tell y'all something.
What was the song?
Same song.
Yeah, like two verses.
What is that? Hover song, I'm going to change the same song.
But you know, Pac, then, he was mad at Digital Underground when he came to us.
Nah, What'd he say?
Lying. Uh-oh, exclusive.
Yep.
Exclusive.
I know what it is. They didn't pay me no money.
No.
They
would never sign him to the group.
Why didn't they sign him?
That's what the thing was. They would never sign him to the group. They treated him like a roadie.
They didn't see the potential thing.
His first solo album, they got him his deal.
He got it. Well, he produced. Shock G's producing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they got him.
But they would never
deal.
Sign him as a group. So we went back to a video shoot that they were doing. It was in April of 96, and he wanted to go just to shine on him because he was always mad.
He was there. I was at that video. It was the one where he came and took one of the niggas' bitches from the video. He came in a drop
and
top.
He was in the Benz.
It was the Benz. 500 SL. And he had a suit on.
He came to shine.
I was there, my
at
nigga.
That video suit.
I was there.
And I don't mind speaking it because I told Money B about it.
I was there. Yeah. It was called the Oregano Flow. It was like the little, it was in a factory and had all the little set with the rocks and shit.
So Pac was still feeling salty even though he had already achieved all the success.
And then he took the baddest model that was in the video, left with the bitch in the drop top and bounced. Right? He took the bitch.
People get mad. He
shut the video down, man. Basically, man. I ain't know it was an issue.
Because they never signed him in the group.
Right.
Even though Shock G did do a lot of the beats for his album that, you know, Interscope eventually had.
That's crazy, man. You learn something new every day, man.
Oh, man, that's a hell of a history, and that's what you get when you listen to the Gangsta Chronicles, all kind of stuff that you've never heard of before, and it gets revealed first here. But before we wrap it up,
we got to talk about all these conspiracy theorist videos creating content on the death of Nipsey Hussle. I know you got something to say about this, yo.
Man, I said something on my YouTube, man, and all the motherfucking people went crazy. I think Reggie was like, man, is he mad at me? What the fuck he's talking about? Nah, I wasn't talking about people that just talking about it in general. You know what I mean? I'm talking about people that's falsely accusing people.
Okay.
Like it's
that's
just
a dangerous thing to do too.
Yeah, because you don't gotta walk these streets. These people gotta walk these streets and deal with your false ass accusations.
Yeah.
Like they're getting death threats. They're getting physically threatened. You know what I mean? They gotta walk around the grocery
stores.
And they
put Big U in it too.
They put Big U in
And telling any facts about
ain't
that.
No facts There's about no, no that. Facts. You're talking about Big U, you're talking about Cowboy, you're talking about Rand Paul, you're talking about his business partners. Now Jay-Z has something to do with it. Oh,
the Illuminati.
The Illuminati. Like this shit is going crazy.
For views.
For views and subscribers. And you putting real people life in danger, man. That's not fucking cool for sponsorships and views. That's all I was saying. Now, a lot of people got
And unfortunately,
crazy.
A lot of these motherfuckers not even from out here.
Right.
I don't think any of these YouTube creators are from Cali.
They're hiding. They don't even show their face.
Yeah.
So, like, people like us, we out here. Yeah, right? You out here. They all know us.
I tell them where I'm at.
Right. We out here. You out here, bro. Yeah. I'm backstage with these people. Yeah. I got shows with all these motherfuckers. I see the managers, everything backstage. I got to deal with it. So when I say something, it's going to be actual and factual, and I can stand on it. I'm not going to put nobody in no danger of getting a case.
Yeah.
Nobody in danger of getting hurt or harmed or death threats or none of that shit, man, because it's not cool for views, period. That's all I was saying. And everybody went to fucking uproar.
And
you're
some of these these theories are ridiculous. I saw one where it's this female YouTube creator. She put a map of Big U's office and then where Nipsey got shot. I'm telling, and then she's saying, look how close his office is to where he got shot.
The fuck that got to do with anything?
It don't mean nothing. And then you see the comments, oh, babe, you're making a great point.
Yeah.
Like, even the listeners to these channels are idiots.
But you got to remember, these are little young kids, a lot of these people. And they like to be talked down to. They like to be talked to like they're in class because they just got out of high school.
Right.
And so they used to be talked to
out,
like
they dropped out. Yeah. Dropped out of elementary. Fuck high school. So at the end of the day, man, not only are they dumb, but when people put the shit out there, they believe in the shit, and I was about to say something, I forgot. They not only believe in the shit,
too much weed.
Huh?
Too much weed.
Too much weed. They not only believe in the shit, but they spreading it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They spreading it. It's going from line to line to line, so it's becoming the norm. It's becoming real. You know what I mean? So these motherfuckers are airheads. You
Worse
know what
than
mean?
The
period.
Tupac Alive bullshit.
It's like this, man. Let's be real. Let's put our thinking caps on. Magnum P.I., whoever the fuck you are, or you super investigators, who's giving you the secret information? Why are you so important that the police don't got it? Detectives don't got the shit you talking about.
Yeah.
The judge don't got it, but you got it.
Yeah.
Some nigga out of town, some bitch out of town, you got all the secret information.
Yeah,
you know exactly what happened. Who told you?
Yeah.
That's my question. Yeah. How you get it?
Yeah.
And the police and nobody else got it out here in L.A.
Yeah.
But you.
Yeah.
Somewhere in New York or Baltimore or whatever the fuck south you're doing your blogs at. How you get it? And what make you so fucking important to get the exclusive information?
Yeah.
It's false.
It's actually undermining the police's investigation.
Right. It's like it's false.
Because if any of these people were guilty, the police would have already arrested them.
My moral of the story, man. And we're going to end the shit on that, man. Gangsta Chronicles. Yuck Mouth, man. My shit about to start.
All right, Yuck Mouth. Thanks for coming through.
Man, thank you, bro.
And thank you,
man.
All
we
the listeners.
We got to do this more, man.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man. I like fucking with y'all, man.
I want to thank all the listeners for listening to another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles. Yuck Mouth has to run because he's got another show to do. So if you listen to us on iTunes, please leave us a rating and a review and leave us some comments, questions, ideas. And don't forget about Bomb First.
Yes.
Reggie Wright Jr.'s show. That's every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. West Coast time.
Yes.
And don't forget about James McDonald's Death Row t-shirts, which are available at the Patreon page that you can get through Bomb First. And you could also get that through James McDonald's direct PayPal, which is connected to his number, which is, and he doesn't mind me giving this out because he already gave it out last week, 909-800-6404. And that's how you can get in touch with James McDonald's. And thanks for listening to another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles. And we're out.
Peace.
Ya-da-da!
Appreciate you, man.
Man, thanks for having the kid, man.
Yeah,
come on,
we're
supposed
to
do this, man.
I know,
right next door,
yeah.
You.
got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.